Daniel, this is an incredible work here, Shadow Masters, and I want to spend some time talking about this, how governments and their intelligence agencies are working with drug dealers and terrorists to benefit, something that we've long suspected you have finally documented. When you were putting this together, did you fear for your life at all?
Well, in fact, I did. You know, Bilderbergers is, think of it as, lightweights when you talk actually, when you compare it to the book, The Shadow Masters. I'm not trying to sell Shadow Masters, but actually, when you're talking about the planners, you're talking about the Bilderbergers. When you're talking about the doers, you're talking about the Shadow Masters. And, you know, Bilderbergers are once removed, but these people, the ones I'm talking about in my new book, The Shadow Masters, the governments, intelligence agencies, international drug dealers, terrorists, you know, I came across a lot of these people and face to face with them. I spent a lot of time in Africa, you know, with a camera on my left hand, you know, a Mac 10 in my right hand, documenting what some of these people actually do. I've been to places like Sudan and Darfur and Chad and Congo and Zaire, and I've actually seen how the Hezbollah are working hand in glove with the CIA, you know, doing basically the same thing, you know, digging for, you know, blood diamonds. And the CIA was actually using the diamonds to finance all the dirty operations. And the Hezbollah were actually using to hide their money because, you know, a handful of diamonds is about three, you know, big truckloads of cash. So, you know, there were some very hairy situations where once I walked, you know, I literally walked into this, you know, this local mafia. There were about 130 of them, and I have photographs of some of these people in my new book, The Shadow Masters. And there they were digging. I didn't realize they were there, you know, because, you know, they were hidden by this, you know, by this bush, and I actually didn't even hear them. And there I am, standing alone with a camera, and, you know, cannon in my left hand and you know, and a gun in my right. And all of them kind of looking at me, just, you know, think about, you know, some Hollywood film. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, I guess this is it. You know, and then I thought, you know, I have, you know, four magazines in my backpack, and I got, you know, 30 bullets in this magazine in my hand. I kind of started, kind of, you know, backed away from it and was safely made it, you know, out of there. I got in my, you know, 4x4 and got out of there as quickly as I could. But, you know, I never came that close ever. You know, the closest I came was being arrested at the airports during, you know, the years I've been pursuing Bilderberg. So, yes. There's been some hairy situations, and, you know, I never told my wife. If I had, you know, she'd keep me on.
Oh, my God. You know, I've always said the Bilderbergs are people we generally know. The Shadow Masters are people we won't ever know. Pretty accurate?
Exactly. Well, absolutely. You know, because, again, you know, we're talking about the local mafia in Congo or in Zaire. You know, who the hell knows these people? No one. But there they are. You know, they're digging for the diamonds, and they're actually working as partners in this business with the Hezbollah terrorists and CIA, you know, who are supposedly, you know, looking after America's interests abroad. You know, so go figure, which is, again, why it's called Shadow Masters, how governments and their intelligence agencies are working with international drug dealers and terrorists for mutual benefit and profit. You know, basically it's just going down the rabbit hole and finding some, you know, some amazing truths, things that I, you know, I really preferred not to have ever found out. But once I did, you just realize how rotten to the core the world is. And it took me quite a while to actually get over the experience.
All right. I have long suspected that there's much more to Osama bin Laden than meets the eye. Beyond the conspiracies, beyond the speculation, is it conceivable that governments or the Shadow Masters specifically have been working with this guy?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's been documented even by, you know, in American mainstream press. There's just been so many books written on the subject. Osama bin Laden was actually trained, you know, in Sudan by the CIA. I've seen CIA training camps in Africa because, you know, again, I spent several years in Africa in the 1990s, between 1994 and 1997. You know, my domain was that, you know, the Black Continent. And I've seen some amazing things. You know, we're talking about Sudan, we're talking about Darfur, we're talking about the, you know, the alleged murders committed by the John Jewies. And, you know, I can tell you it's all, you know, a pack of lies. Darfur is about oil, you know, it's about natural resources, which is why you have the United States government is there, the Russians are there, the French are there. The Israelis are there, the British are there, the Chinese are there. You know, this thing about long-lasting relationship, friendship, such as the, you know, Anglo-American relationship, which, you know, goes back, you know, half a century, it actually doesn't exist. You know, talking about right now temporary partnerships for profit. So one day the Russians are working with the Americans. The next day, you know, they're working in the sabotage operations against the Chinese, and the Chinese are working with Israelis. Then the Israelis working with Americans one day and against them the next. And again, it's not something you see on CNN or your local news. You really have to be there. And one of the things about being an embedded reporter is it's like, you know, it's like going on a field trip. You basically are taken to where the army wants you to see. And that's one of the things I've never done. I've always traveled by myself, all, you know, with close confidants. I paid for all that stuff myself. And again, some of these experiences, some of these photographs in the Shadow Masters attest to the fact that what I have seen, you know, the American government, I can tell you, is profoundly unhappy by the fact that Shadow Masters came out. As a couple of my sources and my readers in the State Department have told me, they said they're very unhappy that you ever released this book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, where do we go with this, Daniel? Where do we as people, how do we fight this? Can we fight this? Or do we just have to march in tune, just like, you know, little robots?
That's a very, very good question. You know, let's see if I can explain this. 40 years ago, we were living through a major cultural paradigm shift in the generation of university age. Now, those particularly who were going to universities at the time, now, this represented a cultural paradigm shift away from the idea of producer society, which is what the United States had been the leading example up to that point, and against technology, which is, again, this whole thing about zero growth, zero progress, et cetera. An anti-technology post-industrial movement, of which the most colorful form of the, you know, the rock, drug, sex counterculture. Now, the people who are in their 50s or their early 60s, we call the baby boomer generation. In other words, you know, even if people are not smoking pot and having sex with strange animals, you know, they're still baby boomers in the sense that most of them accept the values which are common to that generation. And the values which are common to that generation are acceptance of the leading role of cultural policy changes, which have occurred during this 40-year period. Now, again, that policy change is deindustrialization of America, and I don't need to tell you or others listening to the show what that means. I mean, you see it, you know, point blank in the United States. Now, the deindustrialization society is a no-future society because any self-respecting nation state can only be truly independent if it can provide welfare for its citizens. Now, we have a very similar universal principle which starts that all modern civilized society, which is called the principle of general welfare, the principle of general welfare in which all modern civilized society is based. Now, what is it about? Now, general welfare doesn't mean some big fat guy sitting in front of the television, eating a slice of pizza, slobbering all over himself while he's waiting for the unemployment check from the government to arrive at our expense. You know, we're talking about some very, you know, high-valued intellectual issues. What is the intention of the existence of man, of the government? Why are we here? What is the meaning of immortality? It's to provide for the welfare of future generations of mankind and the improvement of the universe by virtue of the existence of that mankind. And the principle of the general welfare, again, as expressed in summation in the preamble of the Federal Constitution,